From Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of the Lord, splendor of God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like the deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and the streams in the desert. The burning sand will be a pool in the thirsty ground, bubbling the springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds. Grass and reeds once lay, and propitious will grow. Got to check that. And a highway will be there. It'll be called the way of holiness. It'll be there for those who walk on the way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about it. The lion will be there, nor any ravenous. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. Oh, hang on, I've got to turn over, don't I? They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. Walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
What joy we've had this morning as we've gathered together around baptism. Today we celebrate joy on this third Sunday of Advent. You know, we live in a world that longs for joy, needs joy, and yet joy doesn't seem to be talked about readily. We often talk of happiness, like, are they happy? Or we wish you happiness or happy birthday. I just want to be happy, but what about joy? Some of us may have come across joy in the movie Inside Out. How many of us have seen that movie? A few more than the first service. Oh, there's a couple of double hands up here. You know, in this movie, joy is one of the five core emotions of 11-year-old Riley, who's just moved house with her parents. Joy and Riley's other emotions, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness, struggle to cope with her new life. You know, I find it interesting that joy seems similar to another familiar figure I think of when I think of joy. Tigger. It's interesting that their stance looks a bit the same to me. You know, Tigger is our glass half full character, glass overflowing actually. He bounces through life as if nothing will ever go wrong. Now, Eeyore is a bit like sadness in the Inside Out movie. Eeyore has this doom and gloom and focus. He's a glass half empty, seriously empty, and the glass is dirty and perhaps cracked. But joy in the Bible isn't overcoming our inner Eeyore or sadness. It's not ignorant bliss either. It's not merely happiness, which is a state of mind, whereas joy is a mindset. Happiness comes and goes. Joy can be constant. Happiness is dependent. Joy is independent. Happiness is conditional. Joy is unconditional. Happiness has this up and down scale. Problems increase, happiness goes down. Troubles go away, happiness goes up. But joy is so much more than this. Joy is an inner gladness, deep-seated pleasure. Joy differs from happiness, and it's an emotion. Happiness is what we might think of as a feeling, which is more fleeting. Joy is a key theme right through the Bible. we see stories of rejoicing, including joy in the wilderness. Joy is not defined by struggle, but future destiny. Joy is about God's hope and freedom. There is joy in anticipating God's hope. We live in a world that's corrupted. There's death and sickness and loss and greed, and we're looking for good news. And here in Isaiah 35, we read of good news that causes great joy. In Isaiah chapters 34 and 35, they actually go together. In chapter 34, we encounter a desert, the result of trusting in the nations. And in chapter 35, we encounter a garden, the result of trusting in God. And there's this beautiful imagery and the personification of nature. First, there's the parched land that will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Then, like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. And a few verses on, the lame shall leap like a deer, and those without speech will sing for joy. Then there's this imagery of water spreading in the wilderness, spreading in the desert. You may have seen it in our own deserts. There'll be streams. You know, those that have been in exile, you know, when the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, the people were in exile, not able to get back to their own country. But there's this beautiful promise that God will redeem his people and bring them again to Mount Zion, and they will return and they will come with singing. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And it finishes with sorrow and sighing flee away. You know, chapter 34 is about destruction and despair, and chapter 35 is about hope and restoration when sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's like a brilliant shaft of light breaking through the clouds, and it's all bathed in splendor. The whole earth shouts for joy. In this vision, we see trembling hands steadied, weak knees strengthened, fearful hearts lifted. The gospel writers follow this same pattern of despair to hope when they describe the devastating despair of the crucifixion, followed by hope and joy in the resurrection. And this pattern is reflected in our lives. When tough stuff comes, when we feel our strength is gone, when there's fear in our hearts, you know, just as the Israelites were, we are strengthened through hope and trust in a faithful God. There is a glorious future ahead for us, for me, for you, and for the whole world. And we find wilderness to promise, struggle and suffering to a place of joy. Isaiah was a prophet speaking to a scattered people. And we speak to people living in fragmented lives, in a fractured world that's with torn apart families and broken hearts. And some of us have experienced that. This passage speaks of wholeness. The blind will see, the deaf hear, the lame leap, the mute sing. And it goes much deeper than physical to spiritual brokenness. Personal, communal, and global. It's not so much about physical ability as transformation and wholeness. In Isaiah's poem, it sounds like coming home. It sounds like singing. It points to a fuller future joy. So where do we find ourselves in this? At home, joyful, and at rest in the presence of God? It is where we long to be, where we belong. There's a sense that we cry out to be home. We too are in exile. We cannot save ourselves. The way has already been raised up for us, and gladness awaits with joy. So as we connect with joy in Advent, what does this mean for us? God is the source of our joy. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. And C.S. Lewis came a bit closer to the biblical meaning of joy when he called it an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more describable than any other satisfaction. And he went on to write that joy must be clearly distinguished both from happiness and from pleasure. Ultimately, Lewis experienced joy when he discovered that Jesus was the wellspring of all joy. And in his book, Surprised by Joy, he concludes that once he became a Christian, seeking joy was no longer important. Joy was simply a pointer to something other and outer, that is God. Joy is the inevitable overflow of receiving Jesus Christ as Saviour and knowing his continuing presence. Joy is God's gift to us. Joy is contagious. It draws others to God. You know, in the Isaiah passage, joy is contagious. The joy of creation inspired the ancient Israelites and inspires us. As joy grows in our heart and mind, it infiltrates the soul. It moves outward to impact others, part of our loving God and loving others. Think Tigger here and how contagious that is. Or we could think of the early Christian communities were known for being full of joy even when persecuted. Joy is active. You know, when we come across the words, shout for joy, everlasting joy will crown their heads and joy overtakes them. These are active words. And if you Google joy, everyone seems to have their hands up. When we experience joy, it is not just in our hearts and minds. Joy is a bodily experience. Joy can be found in all circumstances, including struggle. You know, the Bible is full of examples of this. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Strangely, often becomes strongest when trouble actually comes. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had a two-month wait for surgery due to Christmas. And yet I experienced joy and peace during that time, a joy and peace that comes from God. And as I waited that extra time due to Christmas, I found that God was in the waiting, in the muck, in the longing, and in the hoping. Joy can be real in the darkest of circumstances, in sorrow, in grief, and in hurts. So how do we practice joy? How do we find joy? There is a known link between joy and gratitude. You know, joy actually takes some work. We all have anxious times in our lives. In difficult times, there's a reminder of joy despite pain and a call for joy to sustain and remain. There is a known benefit to taking each anxious thought that we have and replacing it with a grateful one. And a famous quote on this is from David Steindl Rust. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. Jesus rejoiced and gave thanks to God his Father time and time again. We develop a daily practice of recognizing joy. I've shared here before that I have a practice of journaling. It's not exactly daily. I'd like it to be. I read a song, I write out a few lines as worship. I read a portion of scripture and I write out a verse or two and I ponder it and I write what I notice, all my questions. I journal how it applies to my life or where I've seen it in my life. And at times, these ponderings often come up in sermons. And then I follow with what I call teaspoon prayer. I'm a simple girl, TSP, thank you, sorry, prayer. I journal what I'm thankful for, then I confess, then there's my prayers for others. And a couple of years ago I added, where have I experienced joy in my life? And interestingly, what I'm thankful for is often very specific instances like chat with someone or Mary's text or sermon written or walk along the beach or the weather. But joy is much broader and includes smiles and laughter and God's call and beauty in the sunset, not alone, and God's presence. I'm forgiven and I'm a child of God. The essence of joy seems to run much deeper, even in my journal. And this daily practice of recognizing joy helps me to reflect on joy in my lived experience every day, to see that God is a source of joy. Bishop Tutu writes that gratitude is an extremely important part of joy because it allows us to save a life and to recognize that most of our good fortune in life comes from God and others. And he suggests that we practice gratitude daily at the end of our day, first by closing our eyes and recalling three things from your day for which you're grateful. Try and be specific. And second, write these three things in a journal, because writing them down has physical and emotional benefits. And joy is seeking to do good for others. And this is another Bishop Tutu quote. Ultimately, our greatest joy is when we seek to do good for others. And there's something that happens in us when we do good for others. It's hard to explain, but I think we've all had experiences of that. This morning we've experienced joy as we've witnessed two baptisms. And thinking of Advent, joy is at the very heart of the Christmas event. That's not the joy of gift giving or being with family and friends. It's the joy that comes from knowing what happened all those years ago in Bethlehem. God didn't come in a palace among the rich and famous where the good food is to be found. God slept in a feed trough, a manger, to be with the poor, the hungry, the marginalized, and the sick. He came to them to let them know that things were going to change. In the world Jesus created, we have seen how life is meant to be. We see it as a life full of joy because God cares enough about us to come to us and to show us the way back. If you feel in the wilderness or in the desert right now, I have good news. There is joy for you. God replaces the deserts and the desolation with bright blossoms and streams and pools. Instead of desert, we find a garden. We've heard the good news of the prophet Isaiah. May we know this joy, live this joy, and share this joy with everyone. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Let's pray together. God of joy, it brings us joy to be your children, to call you Father, to have a relationship with the Creator. Thank you for the joy that we can know in you, for the joy that we know in times of struggle, for the joy that we can share with others. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for the picture of the parched land, the water spreading across that, streams coming and the earth shouting for joy. We long for the time when sorrow and sighing will flee away. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are joy, that we can experience your joy as we follow you and serve you. Forgive us for when we don't draw near and experience your joy. Thank you that we are a forgiven people and for the joy in that. And Holy Spirit, help us to remember that God is the source of all joy. To remember that joy is contagious and active and can be found in all circumstances. Help us to find joy in expressing gratitude and to find joy in doing good for others, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.